Today on Real Radio.
If he died for us, you don't have to die. If he died for us, you don't have to try to earn God's salvation in some holiness group or some cult. He did it. Receive him.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series simply called, Why Should I? It's a collection of lessons that explore what Scripture has to say about the lifestyle choices that you and I make once we become a believer. Now, certainly becoming a believer is synonymous with, quote, getting saved. Now, to get saved, that may or may not be a phrase that you're used to. It's a term commonly used among those of us who are believers. But what does it really mean? I mean, if we're saved, what are we saved from? Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs answering the question, why should I get saved?
He who believes in him is not condemned. But he who does not believe in him is already condemned. That means he's on his way to hell because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Psalm 106, verse 4. The 106th Psalm, verse 4 says, Remember me, O Lord, with your favor you have toward your people. O visit me with your salvation. You want to hear something fun? This is outrageous. Talk about God providing the way and God reaching out. Listen to this. It's John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, verses 10 through 12, verse 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made or created through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. And in him was the life, which is the light of men. Listen, is this not the saddest verse in the Bible? He was in the world, and the world was made through him, but the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own would not receive him. Listen to this, verse 12. But as many as receive Christ, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Verse 14 says, And the Word became flesh, and he lived or dwelt among us. And we looked or beheld, we contemplated his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Grace and truth, not judgment and wrath. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Listen, I want to ask you, why are you not a Christian yet? Well, you know, that last church I was at, forget it. Well, that one pastor, he really upset me. Forget him. Well, the church when I was a kid ripped me off. Let it go. What did Jesus, I'm asking you, ever do to you? Men will hurt you. Men will let you down. People will disappoint you. What has Jesus done to hurt you? The truth is, he's done everything to change your life and make you the person that he created you to be. Jesus Christ died on a cross that he did not have to go to. He did it for you. He loved you so much, the Bible says that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. So make sure that you're picking your fight in the right context. In Isaiah chapter 118, chapter 1, verse 18, God says, Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. The word in Hebrew is come. Let's argue, you and I, face to face. Let's argue. I got news for you. When you and God get in an argument, you're going to lose. We also learn this under this first point of ours, or second point of ours, is this, that by coming and dying in our place, God has provided us a way of salvation by Jesus Christ coming and dying in our place. Jesus died a violent death, horrible death. Did you know the Bible says in Psalm 22 that they would pierce his hands and his feet. That was written 1,000 years before he was born. You'll be able to identify Jesus because they pierced his hands and his feet. The Bible says in Isaiah 53, written 743 years before Jesus was born, that he will not refuse to die. He'll go as a lamb to be sacrificed. Did you know 520 years before Jesus Christ was born in Micah chapter 5 verse 2, it said that the Messiah Jesus would be born in Bethlehem? And where was he born? Bethlehem. In Isaiah chapter 50, it says that they'll pluck out his beard. And guess what they did? They plucked out his beard. Have you ever snagged a hair on your razor, guy? When you're shaving with a dull blade? You want to see a man cry? Isn't it true? Huh? You shave your... I didn't realize I didn't shave this morning. When you shave with a dull blade, it brings instant tears to your eyes. It's the weirdest, especially when you go right down your top of your lip. Ow, ow, ow. Can you imagine they put sticks in Jesus' beard, as was the custom in those days? They twisted it, and then they put their sandal on his forehead and pulled out chunks of his face. Why? And he never said a word. For the joy that was set before him, he endured. You were that joy. So, Pastor, are you trying to get us to listen to this to come to Calvary? Don't come, you can't get a seat. You want my money? We already took the offering for those who attend this church. If you're visiting, don't give. If you don't know Jesus, don't give. Are you trying to get us all excited so we'll go out on Saturday on the church project and help out? No, stay at home. But know Jesus. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world, says Jesus, and he loses his own soul? Man, wouldn't you love to email that to Bill Gates? What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world? He can buy the world, you know, this guy. But he loses his own soul. How terrible would that be? In Luke chapter 23, verse 33, the Bible says, when they came to the place called Calvary, that's what this church is named after, Mount Calvary, they crucified Jesus there, and the criminals on either side of him, right hand and on the left. Then Jesus cried out and said, Father, fry these bums for doing this to me. No. Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing. Only God can do that, I submit to you. I would have been on that cross yelling and absolute, if I can get off this thing, I'm going to slap you. That's probably what I would be saying. Jesus is hanging there after they're spitting on him and they've ripped them to pieces, Jesus' father. They're ignorant regarding what they have done to me here. They don't understand. Well, now today it's time that you understand that God sent his son to die, as offensive as it is. And the Bible says the preaching of the cross is offense to people. He died to pay the price of our sins. You see, we don't like it. We don't want to hear that. But my friend, there's no way that you can have salvation without understanding that he died for our sins. Personal. He's a personal savior. He saved us from personal sins. Did you see the news yesterday? Over 150,000 people protesting in New York City about, they want peace. Peace, they're saying peace. Did you see that? You see it in San Francisco, they were protesting about peace. And they all got in a big fight and beat each other up. It's true. In New York, they're picketing, peace, peace, peace. We want peace, we want peace. You know what? Honestly think. People want Jesus. Oh, yes, Jesus. They want the hippie version of Jesus. Long hair, walk along the beach, pretty cool guy. As soon as the sin issue is introduced, he died for our sins. What? Yeah, same thing with peace. We want peace. They're laying down in front of the police cars. You'll have to run us over because we're for peace. Wouldn't it be great to get on an airplane, fly to New York, go running down Lower Manhattan where they were? Excuse me. Hey, attention, please. Attention. I come from California with a Bible on my knee to announce to you. How many of you are for peace? Peace. We're for peace. Do you want peace? We want peace. Then I want to encourage you to meet the Prince of Peace. Bring him out. We want to see him. His name is Jesus. What? They're picketing for peace. You mention Jesus and they'll beat you with the sign. Why? Because Christ, he died on the cross. That implies he did something for us and our pride can't handle it. Don't go that way anymore. Don't be like that anymore. The world is filled with hypocrisy. We want peace, but they won't receive the Prince of Peace. He died in our place. Jot these verses down, and off we'll go to our closing point. By coming and dying in our place, 1 John 3:16 says, "This is how we know the love of God, that Jesus Christ laid down his life for us." Man. Titus chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. "Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed." Anybody go over 55 miles an hour lately? Raise your hand. You, see, now the rest of you are lying. Look at you. You just sat there and... Every lawless deed Jesus has redeemed us from. By the way, theologically, it is an absolute mind blower. He died. This word means that he died for all of our sins of the past, our current sins, and our future sins completely. Now you see why it's called good news? Man. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 9 and 10. "For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us." If he died for us, you don't have to die. If he died for us, you don't have to try to earn God's salvation in some holiness group or some cult. He did it. Receive him. You say, "Well, Pastor, I want to argue that one with you. You think somebody can just receive Christ and go on their merry way?" Answer is yes. They received Christ and they go on their merry way. What are you implying? That they received Christ and they cannot go on a merry way? That they received Christ and then what? From that moment on, commit no sins, be absolutely perfect in thought and deed, and then and add to this salvation that Jesus did on the cross their own works of righteousness? Paul the Apostle says in the book of Galatians, if that's your intent, you have fallen from grace. I tell you what I am saying. When you truly receive Christ as Lord and Savior, truly, you will go on your merry way, and though the world will take you up and down and there'll be difficult times and great triumphs, you will continue on your merry way, because faithful is he who has promised, and he will complete it. And once he has started that work, he will not stop it until you are standing perfected in Christ on the other side of eternity. He's going to do it. My all-time favorite verse in this consideration is 2 Corinthians 5:21. You hear it here all the time, and I hope that you already know it before I even say it. "For God made him who knew no sin," that is Jesus Christ, "to become sin for us, that we might receive the righteousness of God which is in him." I call it the great exchange. You bring all your stuff to God, and God takes it, and then he clothes you by his decree in righteousness based upon the work of Jesus on the cross. Finally, we'll end with this point. Why should I get saved today? Why should we be saved? Because eternity is ultimate reality. Did you know that? Eternity is ultimate reality. We are funny people because we will work hard and we will invest and we will prepare ourselves for retirement. Why? It's real. And you know what? There's no guarantee that you and I will make it there. Did you know that? "I've been saving all my life for retirement." That's good. That's a wise thing. That's what the book of Proverbs says to do. But listen, you have no guarantee you're going to make it to retirement. You could choke on that freedom toast today, you know. You could choke. It's better to prepare yourself for eternal retirement. Eternity's real. Heaven's real. Why do you think you think about it so much? You think those thoughts are your own? You and I have been thinking about it all of our lives. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. You just lie to me again. But since we were little, we've always thought and wondered about heaven. It's the way God made us. I talked to somebody the other day. God has blessed them tremendously. They worked in Hollywood for years, in the movie industry, all kinds of money, influence, and does not want the gospel, doesn't care to have Christ in their lives, and they just go from thing to thing, from place to place, traveling the world, looking for what's going to make their life complete. Their life will never, they'll never be satisfied. Never. You may have barely made it down the street, but if you've got Jesus, you will be content. 1 Timothy 6, verse 6 says, godliness with contentment is great wealth. I tell you what, before I came to Christ, I think I had gotten as far as the Missouri River. And I accepted Christ, and I had no idea that in a future period of time after accepting Jesus, that the Lord would send me to all kinds of countries throughout the world. How does that happen? You know what? Put Jesus first in your life and watch everything else be added to you. And I tell you what, now when I go in places of the world or even down the street, it all belongs to Him anyway. And man, male or female, young or old, they're all looking for the same thing, the thing that we have found. Eternity's for real. Jesus says heaven's real. Jesus spoke about heaven and He wants you and I there. The Bible all over, from cover to cover, tells us about heaven. It's an often thought that we have. Jesus spoke about heaven. Jesus said in John 14, I'm going to go to heaven, and I'm going to want you to come. I'm going to be preparing a place for you. Jesus said it was His desire of His Father to give us the keys or the kingdom. He wants us in heaven. Revelation chapter 21, I love it. John says, I heard a loud voice coming from heaven saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is now with man, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be their God. And listen, verse 4, Revelation 21, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. You want your tears wiped away? There'll be no more death. Isn't that a great answer to war? No more sorrow. No more crying. There shall be no more pain there. For all the former things have passed away. Then He who sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And He said to me, write this down, for these words are true and faithful. And He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give of the water of the fountain of life freely to those who thirst. You want salvation? It's free. Take it. And we stumble at that because you can't write a check for it. Maybe you walk around your house. You can't do it in my house, but you walk around somebody's house and say, oh, did you just look at this bust I got from Italy? You know how much that cost? People go, ooh, wow. Look at this painting. I bought this painting from Da Vinci himself. Can look at things of the world and say, ooh, and ah, and you know what? I'd love to, how much is that? I'll buy that Monet from you. How much? Name your price. It's not for sale. I was literally at a Thomas Kincaid gallery and someone was there and they wanted a painting that was on display and it was not for sale. It was the real thing. Kincaid had painted it for his daughter. It was not for sale. And this guy, he was in Newport Beach, this guy said, call Mr. Kincaid and ask him how much it is. Sir, it's not for sale. Call him. Sir, it's not for sale. Call him! It was very clear this man did not take no for an answer. So the lady calls up Kincaid in Monterey, California. Just, you know, up the highway there. There's a man here who wants to buy the painting. He says it's not for sale. He said it's not for sale. $100,000. He says $100,000. Mr. Kincaid says it's not for sale. $150,000. At $250,000, the guy either broke the bank or got the point. It was not for sale. Kincaid doesn't need the money. God doesn't need your effort. God doesn't need your righteousness. He's got His Son's for our salvation. There's no price. There's no check you can write. There's no bartering that you can offer up that's big enough. He doesn't accept it. It's free. It's absolutely free. Well, quickly, heaven is real. And listen, hell is hot. We say, no, you're getting to the point. This God you talk about. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29 says, how much worse shall the punishment be for you? To those who suppose, who will refuse to be thought worthy of, having trampled the Son of God under their feet, they have counted the blood of Jesus Christ of the covenant by which he sanctified a common thing, and by doing this they have insulted the Spirit of grace. And Jesus himself warned more than any other biblical character in Scripture against hell. And there's cults at your door that will tell you, oh, don't worry about that. It was a metaphor. It was not real. Oh, really? Did Jesus metaphorically die on the cross? If hell's not real, then why did he die like that? If sin is not real, then why did he suffer like that? It's a free gift, my friend. Wouldn't it be a horrible way to live forever in a perpetual dying? That's what hell's all about. Jesus said, scriptures teach us this. Hell is a place where you're forever falling. You know that roller coaster ride drop? And young people will say, oh, I like that feeling. Forever? The Bible says it's absolute darkness, pitch black. So, oh, I like the dark. Not this kind of dark. Both in the Hebrew and the Greek, the darkness is a darkness can be felt that strangles you. Maybe a few of you have. But for a moment, and that has been an absolute darkness. Have you ever been to the Oregon Caves in Oregon? They'll take you through a couple of canals or channels or caverns, and then they bring you into this big courtroom underground. And it's about as close as you can get to absolute darkness. The park ranger's got a photometer. They turn off all the lights, and they'll take a reading. Here's the funny thing. The room is huge. It's all made by God. It's all natural. It's incredible. They turn off the lights, and he starts talking to you. And you feel like there are hands or faces on your face. And it gets stronger and stronger and stronger until you would bet your bottom dollar that there's somebody trying to touch you. It's so weird. You find yourself backing up and looking or glancing away, and then the guy turns on the light and there's nobody near you. You feel like a lunatic. It's interesting. That's what absolute darkness does. It strangles you. Most people survive 3 days in absolute darkness, 72 hours, and you go insane. Did you know that? Yeah, it's amazing. The Bible says hell is a place where the darkness is absolute. And there's a lake there that's burning, but it doesn't give any light. So the burning flames, but you're in a lake, and you're trying to tread water, but you can't tell which way's up, and the feeling of falling. And then if that wasn't bad enough, Jesus says that there's a worm there that gnaws upon your body, and it eats you. Forever. Hell. No wonder when the Bible says it was created for Satan and the judgment of the fallen angels, that humans were not to go there. But man just insists on going there. And I want to ask you in closing, why have you not yet become a Christian? Well, Joshua says, choose you today whom you will serve.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called, Why Should I Get Saved? Why Should I Get Saved is part of Pastor Jack's collection of lessons simply called, Why Should I?, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Hey, I'd like to remind you about Pastor Jack's midweek study that airs every Wednesday night on hischannel.com, 7:30 p.m. West Coast time. You know, that's the beauty of his channel. No matter where you are in the world, you can join us right here for Pastor Jack's midweek study. Now, I get to just get a hold of my wife, get in the car, and go see Pastor Jack live. But you can join us on hischannel.com, 7:30 p.m. West Coast time. In fact, we have a link to his channel at our own realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J., and Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.